Welcome to this brand new episode of the Marketing Technology Podcast. This podcast is hosted by Mark van Horik and myself, Elias Krum. We're both from Marketing Guys in the Netherlands.
Welcome, Ellen Bark, co-founder at Collider, to the Marketing Technology Podcast.
Thank you, Elias and Mark. Very nice to be there.
Yeah, it's a pleasure having you here. Could you give us a little bit on your background and what Collider does, and maybe some personal background on how you rolled into this?
Sure. Yes, I'm co-founder and managing director of Collider. This is a startup accelerator focused on marketing, commerce, and ad tech, which is quite unique. Well, we'll talk all about that later on. But how did I get there? Well, actually, I'm coming from a true hardcore marketing background in FMCG multinationals. So worked for Sara Lee and Heineken in multiple countries in Europe. Started indeed in the marketing function, also built, for example, trade marketing department in Hungary for Sara Lee. But gravitated from there into innovation. And really specialized in that part, mainly, of course, from a marketing and strategic perspective. So I've worked on the front end of innovation, which is around concept development, but also have driven innovation projects through the whole innovation funnel. And worked on marketing and innovation capabilities. And in my last role at Heineken, I built the capability of open innovation. And this is about how to connect actually the company with parties outside the company to innovate better and faster. So think about co-creation with consumers, but also to work with suppliers. And last but not least, and that's where Collider comes in also, is how to work effectively with startups. And mainly in that case was focused on digital. I really was very inspired by the startup ecosystem. I loved all the new ideas, the really fast-moving teams, decided to make the big step from corporate to being a startup almost myself by building Collider Amsterdam. And I did that actually because I was introduced to Collider London through Unilever Global Marketing. Actually, I did a project for them as well. I out of curiosity, I contacted them and I thought maybe I can become a startup mentor or something like that. And then they said, well, we don't work with a huge pool of mentors, but we work with a smaller group of investors that helped the startups from skin in the game. And don't you want to be an investor? And I never thought of myself as being an investor. Actually, I thought this was really a great opportunity. So I stepped in as an investor in Collider London, learned how they worked from the inside, and thought, well, that is really something that also has a great opportunity in Amsterdam. So I agreed with them to start Collider Amsterdam.
So that must have been a pretty big step from this, let's say, safe, big, let's say, Unilever, Heineken environment to your own little startup in Amsterdam.
Absolutely. But I really was ready for it. I've worked always with great pleasure at these companies, had loads of opportunities and obviously great brands to work for. Learned a lot, but I thought my next step should really be something in a smaller context where I can work on my own risk and account to actually share my expertise also with younger companies. So I was basically ready to do it. And I never regretted it. I've done it 3 years ago, and it's been an amazing experience.
That's what I hear from people all the time. It's a story I share with. I have a background with bigger companies as well, my own company. But it's what you hear. You know, it's like people always think about starting their own company for years and years and years, and only a few people do so in the end. But the people that do so always, after a couple of years, I hear them say, it's like, I never have ever regretted the step from this large company to my own startup. But what are the biggest learnings you have in the first years? Because you've been working or heading Collider for 3 or 4 years now. So what's the biggest things you have learned?
Yes, well, I think the podcast is only like half an hour, but let me focus on one of the elements that are truly important for me, and that's also where my background in corporate life also has been very useful, is actually the challenge of innovating with small companies as a bigger company to innovate with startups. That is really something which still most companies haven't cracked yet, and that's also what we help companies with. Obviously, I think a lot of bigger companies know that they need to be on the lookout also to what's happening in the startup space in terms of new developments on the technology level. But that doesn't mean that it's easy to just work together. You know, this is a big oil tanker together with a small speedboat, and culturally very different. It also is, on the other hand, for startups, they underestimate how hard it is actually to work, to sell basically their technologies to bigger companies. Because they really don't know the context very well. So that is something, I learned a lot about. We've become better at preparing both bigger companies and the startups of making that collaboration happen.
Wow, that's a very interesting point you're making there. Because mm-hmm. what we also see happen a lot is like these small companies mm-hmm. try to sell into big companies. Mm-hmm. You help them preparing for that. So can you share some tips that for companies that, of course, they should contact you, but, you know, mm-hmm. after the podcast, but some of the tips that you can share for those smaller companies that would like to sell into the bigger companies, these tech companies?
Yeah, so be prepared, first of all, for long sales cycles. and that simply has to do with the complexity of decision-making in bigger companies. So the fact that you talk to one person who was really enthusiastic about your tool, that doesn't mean that you've done business with them already. This is something, these decision processes can take awfully long. And especially for very young startups, this is quite difficult because for them, they're looking every day at the cash flow, basically. So that's one. Be prepared for that. And then, but it also means that you need to understand that company really well to also shorten the sales cycle to the max. Which means that, first of all, work together, work very hard to do your research, basically. Find out what is the decision-making unit, who are the people involved, what are they working today with. For example, so if you sell a tool which is for a marketing team, it almost always means that also IT should be involved. And last but not least, procurement at some point. So there are some really practical tips and tricks that can help you be more effective. Of course, we always say that they need to have a good understanding of what it takes to integrate their technology in the bigger context. Most of the startups that we onboard to basically have technologies that are almost plug and play and are independent of legacy systems, but that's not always the case. And especially in the latter case, you need to get make sure that IT is on board soon enough. Yeah, and I think what is really a good in this context as well is that you should ask yourself as a small startup, you know, should I start selling to the big ones? Are they my core target group in the first place? And we've seen many startups who thought they were going to sell to bigger companies, but then they worked out that actually their sweet spot of companies that you know, that have a best fit with their tool or technology are actually SMEs, and that means again a completely different way of selling. So we developed I have to say some expertise on that as well with bringing in also people who are quite knowledgeable about how to. How to set up a marketing and sales machine to sell at scale to smaller companies.
Ellen, I've got some questions also. I've been listening to this story of yours. I'm very intrigued. If I say that you bring the startups that are very enthusiastic, that are they're bristling with energy, mm-hmm. that you bring them back to reality,
yes, I'm afraid we do so. and we have to bring them back to reality to a certain point. And if we don't do that, reality will do it. but basically, we help them to accelerate their development by, you know, making them understand that they need to have a realistic view of their customer landscape. And actually, lots of startups that we get on board have great technologies and are super enthusiastic about their products. Basically, they're in love with it. But that's also the trap for them, because what we say is, okay, you know, product is one thing, but customer comes first. So we really help them to adopt a true customer focus into their business. So basically what we say, you know, go back to the customer you think your customer is, do additional customer discovery, actually talk to people. It can't be all done all online, although a lot of things can be done there. And maybe that means that you have to redefine who your true focus customer is. So first of all, we do that. And then we also force them indeed to focus. A lot of startups have fear of missing out. So they have a new tool and they think, well, whoever wants to buy it, we should go for it. But they have very limited resources. So a lot of work we do is to help them focus on to identify their core target group, to define their base camp, you know, what are they going to focus on first, and then completely drive towards achieving and winning that type of customer.
Nice. So you've spoken about some things that you do for companies. I would like to make it a little more specific. Mm-hmm. If I look on the website, your website is collider.io, which we'll also put in the show notes, of course. So mm-hmm. You can find that and the listeners can read it in the show notes later on. Mm-hmm. You have a portfolio there of companies that you invest in, and there is some that have like a nice Dutch flag on them. So I assume those are the Dutch ones. Can you share some stories on the companies, the specific companies that you've helped, and what have you done for them?
Yes. So
later on, we'll start asking you for the learnings. Yeah.
Definitely. So indeed, we have invested in London and Amsterdam in over 60 startups. In the Netherlands, specifically, in the past 3 years, we've invested in 17 startups. And these startups are all early stage business to business startups, and their tools help actually companies big and small, to better or smarter understand, find, engage, convert, retain their customers. Now, think about, so for example, we have NeoSound last year. They use artificial intelligence to turn sound into meaningful data. So what they do is they help call centers to identify the right calls to analyze based on emotions. So if a call is very emotional, or if there are a lot of silence moments actually in a call, these are calls that they should analyze. And it's very hard and a lot of work for call centers to find these right calls to analyze and to take action on. But it's also, for example, this year we have invested in Survey 54, and that's basically an automated market research platform that helps you to do fast and easy market research in developing countries. But it could also be, for example, Rapid Pricer, one of our startups that is using a complex artificial intelligence model to implement dynamic pricing in a retail context. We have tools for influencers. We have Churnly that actually is a software that predicts churn. And churn is one of the biggest issues for actually SaaS business-to-business companies. Yep. So, you know, it's actually quite a wide range of really exciting new technologies.
It is. So when you were earlier talking about how to help them sell into bigger companies, sometimes the way is not to go to big companies, but it's to skip mm-hmm. and focus on SMEs instead.
Mm-hmm.
To do so, these companies that are, let's say, great technologies on themselves, but they also need marketing technology and a marketing philosophy to market to those SMEs. Can you share some examples there? What are some of the learnings and tips that you can share on how to start marketing at mass scale, and what tools have you used?
I think the biggest challenge for early stage startups is that they don't have any budget.
Mm-hmm.
So we first help them to get the basics right, which is what I just said. Okay, you have to really determine who is your focus customer. So any budget that you have, you can also deploy in a focused way. And then first start using all the free tools that are available to the max. So think about LinkedIn, MailChimp, all these, everything that they can use free, they should be using free. And there are a lot of resources actually behind those tools that can help them optimize it.
Yep.
Let's say for sales optimization, we teach them how to basically what the sales funnel looks like and how to set it up and how to think in terms of, you know, what should I have in each phase, you know, what amount of customers should I have basically in each phase of the funnel, and what are right conversion levels in order to reach the target that I have. One of the tools I think most of our startups like actually is Pipedrive.
As a CRM tool or marketing automation tool?
Yeah, or sales. It's more focused on sales.
Yeah.
I think really driving it through the funnel, but it's HubSpot is quite popular among startups as well.
HubSpot offers a freemium model as well. So as a small startup, you can start using it for free at the moment, I guess.
Yeah, well, at a very low, not completely for free, but at a very low price, that is acceptable for startups. But you see, there are a lot of tools that are maybe around €800 per month, which is just not possible. But the good news is that there is a lot of there's a lot of stuff available that you can actually use for free or at a very very low price. And as startups grow, they can of course reassess and look also into different tools. But we don't really we help them more with the thinking than with the exact tool selection. For that, I guess guys like you come into play.
Well, that's actually right there. But I was just going to say what you're basically helping them on is the process.
Exactly.
And that's what a lot of what we also see happening is a lot of companies, not even startups, but people. And we had a podcast earlier on this, like a few episodes back, but. A sales process and marketing process that's so underestimated because people just start doing things and don't think about following up, setting the right process, just have a process. And you need, of course, a tool for that, but that's just secondary. You need...
Exactly. Yeah, completely agree. We have had this year a specific part of our program was a hands-on sales coach. And he really helped the startups also, for example, if they had Pipedrive, or HubSpot, often they don't use it in the right way, and they didn't start with the process thinking up front. So it is that what you just mentioned, and then once you have a tool, really spend time at the beginning to set it all up in the right way, so that you can benefit in the most optimal way from it.
Yeah, but basically, what you do is you introduce them to a world that's unknown for them. And you prepare them. So the thing what I came up in my mind is that most of the startups do that Nike saying, just do it. That's usually good, but you also say, just do it, but also think.
Think about the process that you're...
Yeah, think about the process. Don't worry about the tools. There are enough tools that that you can use to start with, but you have to implement them as a part of the process. So get thinking. Okay. I guess that's the main thing that you help them for, preparing them for the next level, the next scale-up stage.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
The thing that I was thinking is that sales is becoming harder and harder at this time, specifically because it's hard to reach people in person. Where you see everything is being automated, everything is, even in contact centers, everything goes through either FAQs or chatbots or whatsoever. So human contact is becoming more and more valuable and expensive, I think. But as a salesperson, it's hard to get through to the right person, especially if you're in a longer sales cycle or B2B, where you have like 9 people in the decision-making unit on average. So you need a process in place to have success there, because if you don't, you're just losing.
Exactly, and especially for startups who have limited resources, I think the number one tip is identify your right focus, and then indeed set up the right process and the structure to, in the most efficient way, deploy that very limited resources. It's for startups even, I think it's even more important to be super rigorous than for bigger companies. It sounds maybe strange, although in reality, of course, it's often the other way around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And one of the other things that you're doing is when you're starting using HubSpot, or another one that's very popular with the startups is ActiveCampaign, which also starts at $15 or $50 a month or something. So that's low threshold. So. The companies that are, let's say, postponing the usage of marketing automation are also postponing the data gathering. So we usually advise them to get into any tool. Of course, you know, look at reviews, etc. But, you know, start using a tool with your CRM and your marketing automation, because the moment you start, that's the moment you start gathering data and data insights, which is the basis for success later on.
Well, it's quite simple, because there's a lot of data and we're all talking about big data, but usually you can't do anything with big data. It's just a huge amount. It's to interpret them as smart data. And you need marketing automation or marketing technology tools to make it smart, this data, and just start with it.
Yeah. So
there are enough solutions to get the whole data-driven marketing in your DNA.
And absolutely, I have to say that if we look at our, we by the way have received 230 applications from 48 countries last year for our accelerator program, and which allows us also to see some trends over the years. And of course, AI and any data-driven tools have grown exponentially in the past years. Which also, by the way, makes it really difficult for new companies to come up with something that stands out from what's already there. Yeah. And makes it also for us a challenge to select the right ones. Fortunately, we have a lot of help from experts also on that. And the interesting thing next to that is that actually we just mentioned that we have to teach startups that actually offer marketing and commerce tools how to do their marketing themselves in a very in a more optimal way. I actually underestimated that. I thought they were the experts, but they are very often expert on their specific tool. But it doesn't mean that it's and maybe it's a little bit like doctors.
Yeah, and
you know? they treat themselves in the worst way sometimes.
Yeah. I have because you shared a lot of good information here. I have one final question because that's you triggered me there. Of course. When you're a startup, you have limited resources, limited funds. So you start using free or freemium tools like MailChimp and HubSpot and ActiveCampaign and those kinds of solutions. But you also need advertising just to sometimes spread the word. And one thing Google doesn't do is discount, is my experience. So how do you cope with that? What sometimes you do need advertising, and you know, companies like LinkedIn and Google, you know, they don't say, hey, you're a startup, we'll give you a 90% discount. They do use it with NGOs, but not with...
Yeah, well, the good thing there is that we have actually, we have one startup who is totally specialized in optimizing Google Ads.
Okay.
With automated recommendations. Its startup is called Recommend Me. And they are a great example of a startup that actually thought they were their core customers were going to be bigger companies, or at least bigger ones, let's say the bigger mid-sized companies.
Yeah.
But they found out that their sweet spot is startups. Because startups, again, have limited budgets, also not really often the time to do the analytics. Mm-hmm. And basically, there you just upload your campaigns in their system, and they the system automatically identifies the ones that are being really effective and the ones that are less effective, and come up with simple recommendations how to deploy your budget.
That's a company I'm going to find more info on.
Yeah. Do so.
And, so Recommend Me. We'll put them in the show notes as well. And of course, they're in your portfolio on Collider.io.
Exactly.
To me, this Recommend Me solves like a big frustration that a lot of companies have. Because to me, I can't understand why we need Google Ads specialists. We have some people in-house that are ad specialists as well, but it's just advertising, right? So why do you need a specialist to understand an algorithm? It should be automated. That's something, so Recommend Me seems to do that. So I'm definitely going to check that out.
Do so. I definitely recommend it to you, and certainly for the ones that have smaller budgets and no budget also to hire an analyst to do so.
We might have them on a future podcast interview. So let's see if we can organize that.
Mm-hmm.
Ellen, is there something you would like to share before we end this session?
Definitely. We're going to have a new accelerator program at the beginning of next year. So I would really like to invite any startups listening to this podcast also to apply for our new program. It will be on our website very soon. Okay. And any, if you are a marketeer working in an agency, if you have your own company and you're really interested in marketing, commerce, and ad tech and technologies, new tools, then why don't you just join in and become an investor? It's very accessible.
Cool. So thank you, Ellen. So we're going to share that link. We're going to share the link to Collider, and then you'll probably make sure that it's people can easily find your new program. So
definitely.
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure having you on our podcast.
And thank you so much. Pleasure was very much likewise.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Marketing Technology Podcast. If you enjoyed this podcast, please leave us a review on iTunes and subscribe to our iTunes channel. Also, if you want to be interviewed on this podcast, or if you have any questions on marketing technology, send me an email on e.crum@marketingguys.nl. Thank you.